the scripture that I heard was, "Behold, old things have passed away. I'm doing a new thing." And I had to quick Google it and pull it up. And it actually, you know, God is full of surprises. And as I was worshiping tonight, I saw a few things for us. And I also, you know, I also heard some heart cry and some issues in here that God wants to heal. And so I really think that this scripture is a standard for us to hold fast to as some of us are going through a trial. Okay? Behold. 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 Behold him. Your old dead life is your old dead life. Quit trying to resurrect what was. Because what was is your old dead life. And there's a war going on for you to resurrect your old dead life so that you can stay stuck where you're at instead of receive him who gave you all things for his purpose and glory so that he may be glorified through you. Wow, that's powerful stuff. So, you know, God, I love how he ministers to all. In wherever I go, I see him extend his hand and his heart. And I see him clothe people with beauty and truth. And yet others I see push away. I don't deserve that. I you don't know. Let me tell you something. He knows. He knows it all. And he still loves us. And he still died for us. So reckon the old man dead. Crucify your flesh. And let it be. Quit trying to put some Miracle-Gro on there. Some of you are speaking words. You know, you're saying proclamations, but you're proclaiming to the dead. Let the dead be dead. God has so much for you. God has so much for you. Will you open to receive all that he has done for you? Behold, I do a new thing. Well, if you're doing a new thing, you can't be in the old thing. One leg in and one leg out. You'll never go and grow in God if you keep looking back. The enemy has been tormenting some of you with decisions that you made, words that you spoke, actions you did, in hopes to engage you and tangle you up. And then, if that's not bad enough, he's trying to rub your nose in your old dead life. Your old dead life stinketh. Whether you did good or bad, it stinketh. Separate yourself from that right now. Make a choice. Make a proclamation. I am no longer going to live in the dead. I am no longer going to look at death and wish and wonder and why couldn't it be this way or why was it this way? I am severing myself from the dead man. And I am choosing to be reconciled in Christ because I called on his name and that's all I had to do. He does all the rest. Why are we trying to work it out? Why are we trying so hard? God has done it all. We have to cut the past off us. I see some legs being dragged back. No, we say no to that. We say release the captives. God has set the captives free. We release them right now from the schemes of the enemy, the lies, the deception, depression. That all has to go. That's all part of the curse. Friends, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Stop going back into the darkness. Say no. Now remember, the enemy, he's so smooth with his deception. But, you know, this reminds me of, you know, some of you know I used to struggle with addiction many years ago. God set me free. totally healed me, set me free. But before I got set free, I did the program. And I tried to work it out, you know, doing the steps. But there was a pull. You know, addiction pulls on your soul. So I know about pulls. And plus, I see them. You can try all you want to control and manage a situation. And when you do that, that is a work of the flesh. Whether it be a good work or a bad work, it's a work of the flesh. There's a better way. The better way is in Jesus. You don't buy it. You don't earn it. You don't strive for it. You yield. You are the Lord of my life. I yield completely, every area to you. I don't know how to do this thing, but I know you do. Teach me, Jesus. And when you say that prayer, he's obligated. And he does. See, what I'm seeing in the room, I'm going to describe it to you. Now, God loves you. He'll stop. I've seen him do it over and over and over and over to bring truth into your life. I've seen him do it in a room of one and a room of 10,000. It doesn't matter. He's not about numbers. He's about the heart. He's about the win, the victory, the established victory through the cross that he wants you to walk in and through. And so, friends, the only way I can give this an English word picture is many years ago, they used to have commercials on TV, I don't know if they still do, of like beer. And, you know, it would be like they'd be advertising a beer. And they would show this people having a wonderful, wonderful time because of the beer. You know, and that's all they would show you. And see, that's what sin is like. It shows you an illusion of how you could be or feel. It's a perception designed to woo the flesh. Now, anybody who's ever struggled with addiction or alcoholism knows the camera always pans to the end of the road, to you, on the floor, passed out, in a stink. See, the enemy won't show you the final picture. That the final picture is the chains around your ankles, the family that has left you, the cost, the embarrassment, the shame. See, the enemy is smart enough never to show you captivity. He entices you and woos you through false perception. He seduces you with the way it could be, the way you could feel. And then when you open your heart or your mind or your soul to the idea of, hey, I could feel that good, he's got you. That's why it is important that we recognize that's flesh. That is the realm of the flesh which ties you in the spirit and captivates you and beats the crap out of you in the spirit and holds you down and says, I'm never going to let you go and I'm going to take everything you have, including your life, if I can. That's the enemy's way. But because you don't see it, you don't know it. Now, we have God's word, and we know through God's word promises and truth and inheritance, but why are we not walking in it in the fullness? Could there be an entanglement? Could there be an area in our hearts that we're not aware of, that we've been deceived? Because God has paid the price. He gave it all to us. We see some walking in this measure, some walking in this measure, some walking in this measure. But what about us? What about my heart? Where am I at right now? Am I at the floor over here, owned up, and letting the enemy kick the crap out of me? Or am I in the middle where I'm justifying because no one knows, I haven't been caught, I still have my family? Or am I at the beginning where I'm looking at the picture of the fun? See, I went backwards for a reason. Because it all starts at the beginning with a thought. And God is sharpening us tonight to recognize the thoughts from the enemy, from our flesh, and from Him. He is dialing in discernment like never before. Will you take it? Will you say yes? He has an arsenal so great and mighty called the Holy Ghost. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Or is He on the shelf? Is He a picture in the book? Is He part of your journey along the way? Is He teaching you and walking you through the promises of life that Jesus released at the cross? Where is your journey in Holy Spirit? How much time are you spending with Him? I don't want to know. But could you spend a little more time with Him? Is there room to grow? Is there room to engage? What are you waiting for? Have you been caught up in deception? Some false doctrine? Show us our hearts, Holy Spirit. Show us what's really going on. Has there been I'm hearing Him say, have you drank from the Kool-Aid? Have you been watered down? Did you buy into that miracles aren't for today? Relationship isn't for today? Have you bought the lie? Here's the great news. We can't do anything without help. He sent the helper. He's waiting for us to say help. Is there an area in your life that you are not seeing the fullness of God in? Now here's the thing. Everyone in here said yes. The enemy is trying to get you to think you're the only one. You're the only one who ever blew it. You're the only one that the table has been passed by. You're the only one that if you did this, you could have had that, but you didn't do it. Let me tell you something. Lie, lie, lie. Stop entertaining the lies. It doesn't matter if the lie is this, this, or this. It's all lies. Some of you need to stop negotiating with the enemy. Because what's happening is you've been taken out by default because you're not fellowshipping with the King of Kings. You're not spending time in the Holy of Holies. That's for all of us now. Not later, now. Today, now. Check in. Check in. Check in. This isn't a message of correction. I can feel some people in here are starting to get convicted. This is a message of repentance. Lord, I'm a mess. I need your help. Help me. Don't let the enemy point you out and single you out. I hate when he does that. He does this, you're the only one. And then what happens is we go, oh, I'm the only one. I'm a bad person. No. Translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are an heir to the promises of Jesus Christ. You are royalty. You are an ambassador. You are his very own. Pan, from the beginning to the end. Dead, dead, dead. Corrupt, no matter how good you were. Boom, 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 to the end. It is well with my soul. No matter what goes on. See, perception will lie to you. Perception will fool you. God's word is a standard, a measuring stick, and it could never bend. There's no bending in God's word. We don't argue. We have no opinion. We speak the truth in love without judging. I knew he was going to make me go here. He's doing something tonight. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Are you receiving with gratitude this word?
Could you reread?
Sure. I'm actually in 1 Timothy, and I'm in 4:4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. It'll sharpen you. It'll build you. It'll equip you. It'll help you in a time of need, a time of stress, a time of dryness. The Word of God will heal and deliver and protect your soul. It'll never turn. It'll never gossip about you. It'll always speak the truth in love to you. So God cares about every one of us. And here we go. I'm in 2 Timothy. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, also vessels of wood, of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I'm going to read it again, Kimmy. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, what do we do? Help. Therefore, see, God always gives us, here it is, choose life. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Here we go. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Here's the answer. How do we get from here over to there in the kingdom of God? See, the picture, the fake, the counterfeit is, oh, it looks so pleasing to the eye. One bite won't hurt you. And then you're in here and you're justifying, and, well, I didn't get struck by lightning, it's okay. And then a little more chain gets wrapped around you until you're on the floor and you've got nothing left, and you either don't have enough strength to cry out for God to free you, or you do. But every flesh ends there in one place or another, in one situation or another, in your life. But God uses the parable of vessels of honor and dishonor. And he says that the choice is ours. So some of us have been blaming the enemy. Some of us have been blaming our parents. Some of us have been blaming our wife, our husband, our spouse, our kids, our job, our not job, our circumstance, whatever. Guess what? The choice is yours. Will you grab a hold of it tonight? Will you choose life? Here we go. So we're calling on the Lord from a pure heart. We're going to pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace. right there, that'll take the rest of your eternity. you'll be tested, and what happens is the stuff inside you starts to come out like a sliver, an old sliver, and you're like, where did that come from? And the Lord's like, well, I'm glad you asked. And you were thinking, but I wasn't really, really asking, but because you said that, he's obligated to tell you. It came from when this happened to you when you were 5. It came from when this happened to you when you were 7, and you said this. See, God is the deliverer. He's the healer. He's the protector. He's the provider. Woo! Here we go. Refuse foolish and ignorant speculations. Look around. If we could refuse, if we could just quiet our mouths and refuse foolish and ignorant speculation, knowing that they produce quarrels. Are there quarrels in your household? Have you been quarreling? Are you quarreling at work? Refuse foolish and ignorant speculations. I'm in 2 Timothy 2:23. You ever try to fight with somebody and justify with somebody and they won't argue back with you? You ever been that mature where you're like, and they don't respond? You ever have that happen to you? You actually look foolish. How do I know that? Well, you ever have a temper tantrum? And you think you're right on something, and you just say it, and then there's this non-response because of the maturity and the Word of God in someone's life. What happens is it diffuses, and there's no quarrel. And then there's deep repentance. Oh, Lord, I'm a mess. I didn't even know that was in my heart. Help me. Help me, Jesus. And he does. And then we grow and change. He won't let me off this. Okay. We're going around the barn. And we're going to bring it back. And we're going to talk about this. Flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Not a pure heart justifying, but a pure heart. If you're justifying your pureness or your righteousness, your heart's not pure in that area. And ask the Lord, to help you. See, I do the things I don't want to do. What a wretched man I am. Help me with my unbelief. Lord, change me. Show me, point me to something that's going to set me free. See, a heart like that brings change. You can be the dullest person in the world, and a heart like that will bring change. You can be the most brilliant person in the world, and a heart like that brings change. God cares about our heart, and he knows when we're stuck, and he doesn't go, aha, you're stuck on that one. I knew it. He doesn't even have the filter to think that way. He goes, my beloved, I'm glad you're here. Oh, did you have an issue? I didn't even notice. Because he's so busy gazing at our beauty because, hello, we're created in his image. See, we often measure, well, I'm good today, I'm bad today, I stink today, I sin today. God doesn't look at us that way. He says, behold, beloved, come in. Let us sup together. Got a little dirt on you? Come on into the presence. Let Jesus clean you off. Here we go. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Ooh, I've been wronged. Here we go. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, give us repentance that leads us to the knowledge of your truth. Have you prayed that prayer? Pray it now. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil having been held captive by him to do his will. I got to say it again. Okay, here we're going to read it again. As the Lord's bondservant, you must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Notice it didn't say you grant them repentance. Notice it doesn't say you grant them where they're at today. I'm going to be nice to you today because you're being nice to me. I'm going to be nice to you today because you did what I told you to do. I'm going to be nice to you today because I'm in a better mood. Flesh, 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 flesh leads to corruption, leads to bondage, leads to death, and separation from the person that you're involved with this and from the Lord himself. Not because he turns his back, but because you do. Because you have invoked, I am the Lord in this situation. I know right, and I'm going to pursue and deal with this in righteousness and judgment. And when you do that, you actually put a curse on yourself. You're sowing seeds. Seed, time, and harvest. When you sow judgment, you're going to reap judgment. When you sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. Pick the seed that you're going to sow. Aren't you glad I'm back? Here we go. God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Here's the thing. God grants. God heals. God delivers. God shows up all the time, whispers, choose life, choose life, choose life, choose life. It's not our job to show up and say, choose life or else, choose life. I feel like the Lord is retooling in here tonight. I actually am seeing like a cog and a wheel, and I'm seeing some relationships that are strained, and I'm hearing the words, strained to capacity. So God didn't cause that. Our words cause that. If you have spoken words that weren't full of love, peace, and righteousness, and life, you need to cancel them. You need to say, I break those words in the name of Jesus. I am so sorry, Lord, that I'm judging. You're the judge, I'm not. I'm backing out, I'm laying down, I'm submitting, and Lord, I'm asking you to change my heart. I'm asking you to heal my thinking, and Lord, I believe I've had some deep wounding as I was growing up, which is causing me to filter through some ways of relationships. I'm doing the best I can, but you need to change me. You need to kill this thing and resurrect the beauty of you in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not done, but I'm going to take a lull there because I see the Lord working on some hearts right now. So while we're doing that, I'll do this. See, the enemy is incapable of speaking truth. He's incapable of leading us to truth. He's incapable of having us stay in peace. He's the deceiver. He's the killer. He's the liar. And he's the bondage task maker. If you feel like you have bondage in your life tonight, that's not God, and that's not because of the way you lived or because of the way of the decisions or the fallout. It's because you are not recognizing who you are in Christ. Part of you is still looking and judging yourself and your actions, and you're actually, I only can say this, well, I better get it from the Holy Spirit. I don't want to mess this up. That's actually paying penance for works. And that is a work of the flesh. Freely he has given all to all. Some of you are struggling because you have destruction in your life because of some choices that you made, even though they weren't good choices. But I'm going to tell you something. There has been a line tonight in the sand, so to speak, a line of direction and a line of correction that is pointing you true north to Jesus himself, the author and the finisher of your life, of your race. And he is the one who's saying, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. That means none of that stuff matters. What happened to you before, what you did before, it's under the blood of the Lamb. If you have repented and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have done that, that is washed in the blood. So why is it that you are still looking at that and reacting from that as though you can change any of that? You can't. The better way is to say, I refuse to look at that. I refuse to think about that. That has been buried in the grave. That is dead. Jesus Christ has resurrected me. The old man has passed away. I am a new man, new creator in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to choose to yield every day. What are we doing today? And you watch. You show up and he will rebuild your life better than before, better than before, better than before, completely. You won't even recognize it. And you'll be like, you know, I vaguely remember I had a bad season, but I can't really have the emotions to it because I've been so healed and transformed. And here's the thing. You have purpose, destiny, and desires that God has put in your heart. And the enemy's trying to shake you up and keep you from fulfilling the purpose that God breathed and is. All you got to do is stand in it, listen, and do what he says to do. You don't have to build it. It's already been built. You just have to show up. And when the enemy, which is his job, comes to try to destroy or comes to kill or starts a new fire, you say, oh, no, 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 we're not doing that. No. That's under the blood. That's the old dead life, which I am not even part of anymore because I've been resurrected, translated into the kingdom of light. Get out of here, you barking flea. He can't bite you unless you go into his kingdom. Don't go into his kingdom. Could it be that easy? Yeah. Will it take disciplining your flesh? More than that, it takes dying and burying it and making the decision, I'm going to live for God 100%. I don't care if I lose it all. I don't care if I get it all. I don't care. I'm going to live for him because he's righteous and he's good and he paved the way for me. And Lord, help me. Help me. I don't know how to do it. Teach me. Teach me. And he will. Okay. I feel like I'm done there, but in worship, I saw somebody's right eye. And I heard the Lord say, I'm healing a right eye tonight. So who has a right eye issue? Okay, take the healing. There's no laying of hands. He did it in worship. So recognize, oh, hey, my eye is healed. Hallelujah. If you need it for someone, take it. If you got a kid or a spouse or a husband or somebody on your job that has an issue with their right eye, take that healing for them and apply it. All you do is just take it. I receive that and I apply that to so-and-so. And then you say, hey, when you see him next time, how's it looking? And they say, looking good. Say, God did that. Jesus did that. You know, he's not about, oh, you got to be in the room or you got to be positioned. Okay? Also, this is a weird word. And I don't know if this is a parable. He didn't tell me that. But I saw Jesus like wrapping somebody, and it looked like cold cream, but it wasn't. Their whole body was wrapped in this substance, and I heard burn victim. And I don't know if that's in the natural or in the spirit. I don't know who it's for, but I have to release it. So right now I release healing to whoever that person is. If it's more than one, hallelujah. I release the healing balm of Jesus into that person, whether it be internal or external. I don't know if it's an internal issue. You are healed in the name of Jesus. If it's an external issue, you are healed in the name of Jesus. Amen? I just heard the word toe. Whoever has an issue with their toe, be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay. Any questions? Praise you, Jesus. I think I just heard the whoosh, you know, come and do a whoosh. So, Lord, thank you so much for everything that you did in here tonight. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your compassion and your love. Help us, Holy Spirit, receive and process and bring the questions, stir up the questions in our heart to walk in deeper intimacy with you without judging, without issuing standards or putting standards on people and parameters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.